Welcome to She Is Never Lost, But At Least She Has Wine, a podcast made just for you. Your host is Felicia Stitzel, world traveler and influencer, professional photographer, sommelier, Navy veteran, and mom. Tune in every Thursday for solo episodes where she shares her life story and a wine highlight. Pour yourself a glass and let's dive in.
Hello and welcome to the very first episode of She's Never Lost, But At Least She Has Wine for 2022. Oh my gosh, y'all, we made it. We're into the new year. And how exciting is this? Because, oof, man, have I got some stories for you. So to kick off 2022, what I'm going to do is we're going to take you into the deep heart of Asia with food and phenomenal and everything else that you could possibly think of. So not only is my wine paired with the deep heart of Asia, but so is the story. So are you ready? Let's go. Now, believe it or not, I am actually tasting a Chinese wine. I know. Most people don't even know that China has wines, but actually China has more than 120,000 hectares of vineyards and 8 large-scale regions that have more than 200 wineries in the entire country. So that means that, believe it or not, China is actually entering into the top 10 largest wine-producing countries in the world, right? So, needless to say, I felt completely obligated to share this, you know, so obligated to share this wine with you because, of course, you guys need to know about it. You need to know that China has wine and that you should try it if you have the opportunity. So today we're tasting a Petit Mont, which is the winery, and it's a Cabernet Sauvignon. It's 2019. This actually was in the 2021 wine competition in San Francisco, and there's a lot of people who have been wanting to taste through this. It's from the, and excuse my inability to pronounce things, but it's from the Ningxia region from the Helene Mountains, and it is 100% Cabernet Sauvignon. So I've been hearing a lot of really good things about Cabernet Sauvignons from China, and I'm really, really excited to be sharing this one with you guys. So, are you ready? Oh, I mean, the deepness, like the dark intensity of the flavors on the nose on this is just seriously intense. Like, there is black cherry and black currant and tobacco and chocolate and, wow, those smells are so predominant that it's like, I don't even have a question on if there's anything else. I mean, obviously there's more into it than that, but wow, that's amazing. That smells so good. I'm really excited about this, you guys. All right, so now the taste. Oh my gosh. All right, so if I thought the nose was intense, good God Almighty, the flavor that is coating my palate right now is intense. So it is a very, very heavily bodied wine. Not, obviously not a fortified wine, but like we're talking one step below that because this has some serious kick butt tannins. Like this is a Muhammad Ali kind of knockout tannin wine. Oh, wow. But it has like a super sweet after, not super sweet, I can't even say super sweet, but it has like a sweeter, tangy aftertaste, which is really interesting. Still a lot of those black fruits that are on there, so the nose and the palate are kind of in sync with one another on this one. Very fruity though, nice long finish, and it just is, wow, it's so good it needs another sip. Oh my goodness, oh my gosh, so good. All right, so now that I'm done drooling over this particular wine, I am going to talk to you about a very special trip that I took. And if you've been following this podcast, you know, but it's when my dad and my daughter and I went to Laos and Vietnam together. I had the best time, you know, being able to travel with my dad by ourselves. Normally it's been when he's been with us for trips, it's been a whole family adventure. So when it was just the two of us, and then I get to take my daughter who was 11 months old or turned 11 months old on this trip. It was really, really cool to be able to experience all of that with my dad and then with my daughter as well. So we are going to talk about going beyond the tour spots of Hanoi, Vietnam. And let's just dive in with the fact that this city is 1,000 years old. Well, I mean, it when we went, it was a couple years ago. So over 1,000 years old. Like, and the city has captured that history, especially like an old town. So when you are visiting Hanoi, I highly recommend you need to just stop and go to the markets. It was kind of like my Christmas market endeavor where I was traveling to a bunch of different Christmas markets recently. But for this trip, we always hit up the markets because you seriously find some of the coolest stuff at markets because that's where life is. That's where you get all your fresh produce, your poultry, your meats, knickknacks, toys, souvenirs, artwork, painting, clothes, shoes. I mean, everything lives at the markets. And whether they're day markets that have like booths or they're night markets where they're literally like these little shacks set up on carpets or in rugs and stuff in the middle of a walking street set up at night. Like they set it up right towards dusk and then they just, that's it. They sell their stuff and then they leave. So needless to say, you get to find some really, really cool stuff there. And it's really fresh too. So if you are wandering down these markets, needless to say, you'll be able to also follow your nose because it's not always just a market in the sense that you gather your ingredients. You also have food markets available. And I'll tell you what, one of my greatest memories is being able to walk down. There was like this little weird back alleyway. And mind you, like we're doing all of this without GPS navigation because I didn't have my phone set up to have service while we were gone. So literally everything that we were doing was basically following our nose and hooking up to Wi-Fi spots to be able to find our way back to the hotel. But everything else was just kind of luck and wandering and following signs because I had no idea where we were. Like everything was by luck. So we ended up wandering down this like weird, creepy looking alleyway, but it was literally wall to wall food stalls. Absolutely, like the smells coming out of there were just intoxicatingly good. Oh my gosh. And it was cool because like you could just go and basically pay for a plate and then they would fill your plate up with whatever stuff that you pointed at. Or there were specific vendors, like that's where I fell in love with duck was we got to the very, very end and around the corner where I swear, like you think that you're going to get whacked going around the corner to this because he was like on the corner, not far away from a garbage container. He had his one little light and his little like rickshaw stand thing that had rotisserie duck on it. And as soon as the ducks were done, he would chop, 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 chop. And then he put it all in your little container and you'd take it to go. And I remember leaving that night. We went back to our hotel and in our hotel, we ended up like sitting out the smorgasbord of food that we had picked up because they're all like in little to-go containers and stuff. And we just sat on the bed with all the food on the bed because there was literally no room. There was like 8 inches between the wall and the bed all the way around the bed in the entire room. Like this was a tiny room. So we put all the stuff out on the bed and we just kind of had this like fun smorgasbord of food that we had for dinner. And one of my greatest memories that when we were there, I mean, there was a lot of them, but that was one of my favorites. So definitely do not miss it. Also, there is a ton of like fun parks and stuff. So there's this one that's right next to the Buddhist temple that you should go and check out. It has this beautiful lake in it and the gardens are beautiful. Right around the corner from there, actually, you can even find Old Town Garden Cafe. And it really feels like a secret garden in there. If you are like a coffee lover like me, you could probably spend all day here just trying the different coffees because they have coffees like coconut coffee and weasel coffee. And yes, that's a real thing. Google it. And egg coffee. I mean, things that you were just like, oh, I don't know about that. But then you smell it. You're like, oh, I have to try it though. So definitely visiting Laos and Vietnam, it really pushed me past my limits and my understanding for food. Everything that I thought was probably going to be like weird or slimy or disgusting or, and like, that's not me normally because I am a big foodie. I love food. thankfully, I've started passing that along to my daughter, who thankfully is actually listening to me when I say, hey, you have to try everything at least once. But needless to say, sometimes Asian food, even though it smells amazing, it looks kind of weird. I'm sorry, the food looks weird, but it always proves me wrong. And that's one thing that I love about food is that you could have the, it doesn't look good, it doesn't, like, there's all these, like, what if things. And then you take a bite and it surprises the crap out of you. And you're just like, oh my gosh, thank you. Thank you so much for making this because you just changed my world for forever. So if you are a foodie, you guys need to go to Vietnam and Laos because, oh my God, the food is so good. So even though this town, this city is very, very small, there's actually 7.5 million people who live here. That means that with old historic towns with teeny, teeny, tiny roads, you get really, really crowded. You're really close in proximity to everybody. You just kind of feel like you're one moment away from somebody crying out fire in the theater, and then you get stampeded. Like, you get a little anxious. At least I do. I have a hard time being around crowds since I got out of the military. And so sometimes I just, like, I need a break. I need to sit down where I am not being touched by anyone. Like, I even have this with my own daughter, where I get to a point where I am so past my level of what I can handle that I even tell her, it's like, baby, I love you, but mommy needs space. Okay. Like, I just need a few minutes pause. And she goes, okay. I was like, all right. And like, you know, you just need a minute. When we were in Hanoi, there's actually, like I said, there's tons of these fun little parks and stuff that you can go and hide at. There's this one place called West Lake, and it's right near the city center, which is close to the Hoi Kien Lake in Hanoi. But West Lake is like that, but it's bigger. And it's nice because they build these parks around these lakes, and sometimes the lakes are even man-made, and they just build these beautiful parks around them where you get to walk around and enjoy the trees and go do some Tai Chi on the lawn, or they have these beautiful bird cafes, which sounds weird, but if you've ever watched Somebody Feed Phil, you'll know what I'm talking about, where people bring their cage birds and they let them basically talk to each other. And if your bird spends enough time with another bird, that your bird will pick up their song. So that way it's kind of like diversifying your language as you talk to other people. It's a really cool, I love how the Vietnamese do this because they understand that you need more than a concrete city. You know, you need grass and nature, and you need peace and zen and serenity and all of these things. And they build those right into the cities. Even though there's not that much room, they still make it a priority. So moving on from your relaxation to another form of relaxation, which is chocolate. Obviously, most people have heard about Belgian chocolates or German chocolates. You might not have ever heard of Vietnamese chocolate before. If you are visiting Hanoi, you need to visit one of their chocolatiers. It's called Maison Maroon. It's in the French Quarter, and this is all the products are done in-house, award-winning, and they handpick all of the Vietnamese cocoa beans. Now, like, I didn't even know that Vietnam had cocoa beans. Like, I don't place it as one of the countries in the world that is known for growing the cocoa bean. So I don't really relate it to that. Like, I knew about the coffee and, like, the weasel, the story behind the weasel coffee. But I don't know. For some reason, the chocolate thing didn't stick in my brain. I always think more about South America and Africa than I do the South Pacific and the Asian countries. Like, I don't know. That's just my weird geography brain that didn't click. So you need to go check out Maison Monroe because they are amazing. This is a great little foodie taster present to bring home for friends and family members. Or you could just be selfish like I almost was and just eat it all yourself. You know, it's really up to you. Now, even though I kind of count myself as being a super history nerd, I did not understand, or maybe it was another thing that really didn't set in on me as strong as it should have, about how influential the French were in Vietnam, because you can still see the thumbprint of the French all over the city, especially like in places called like the French Quarter and Old Quarters. These are just small examples of where you can see these kinds of thumbprints. And it's mostly in the architecture and the style and the design of things. So you can come see like an ancient house that was how the Hoi An first lived. And then just on the other side of that, you can see buildings like St. Joseph's Cathedral, which is like this weird hybrid architecture between the French style and the Vietnamese style. Even though like it's a Roman Catholic church, like St. Joseph is a Roman Catholic church. The construction was complete in 1866 after the French army had conquered Hoi An. So you can actually see where the French left their imprints. And it was in a lot of the political stuff that they influenced, the education. Even some of the language has been influenced by the French as well. Food, a lot of things that are in the day-to-day life because the French did conquer this area of Vietnam for many years. And then two things that you have to do before you leave is you have to go see a puppet show. Vietnamese puppetry is an ancient form of entertainment here, and it's something that's still done today. You can actually go and watch the puppeteers. You can watch them. There are stores where you can actually watch them make their puppets. There are shows where you can go to a puppeteer show, small ones for kids or huge ones that take up entire stages. It's definitely a favorite, and I know like I said, my daughter was an infant when we went, and she loved to check out the shows because the characters are bright and the music is fun and everything is colorful. And then you just see all these adorable little kids sitting around and they're all laughing. You have no idea why they're laughing unless you speak Vietnamese, which I definitely don't. But it's nice because you're able to kind of take a slice of their culture and traditions, and you can just sit down and enjoy. For me, I enjoy just resting my legs because, oh my gosh, we walked so much when we were on this trip. I mean, so much. Which, I mean, there's lots to see and we had very little time, so you had to get it all in. And then last thing that I would recommend doing is taking a boat trip. You'll see all of these traditional canoes and boats that they have in Vietnam all over the place. But one thing that it's really fun to go and do is to get out on the water and experience the water culture that's here in Vietnam, because it's everywhere. And I would definitely recommend to go and be a part of that. Just go take a sunset cruise across the lakes or throughout the rivers. The river culture here is symbiotic with Vietnam because there are so many rivers and lives that depend upon the water. So being able to go out and float in the middle of the night, or not middle of the night, but like in the evening, and then come back for like the lantern festivals and all that stuff. I just think it's so important to, you know, do things locally. Yeah, it's always fun to go and do like the tourist thing and to hit up the festival or the, you know, the super historical thing that makes, it's like going to Paris and not seeing the Eiffel Tower. Like, you have to go and do it. It's the same thing with any country you go and visit. If you're going to go, like, go and do something local, because that's where the beauty is. That's where you really start understanding these countries, because it's just amazing. So those are my little tips for getting off the beaten path in Hoi An. I loved my visit there. I wish we would have spent more time. We were only there for like just barely 2 days. And I'll tell you what, it was not enough time. So if you go and spend more days and then go enjoy this beautiful country of Vietnam, because once again, it's another country that I need to go back to because it was so captivating. The people, the food, the history, the culture. Vietnam is in its entirety is completely captivating to me. So I hope that you guys have enjoyed your New Year's. I know that I had a great time with my family and we had friends over and fireworks and it was so much fun. I hope that you also had an equally safe and fun and memorable New Year's. Now let's kick off the New Year's into an amazing year. Cheers.